Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owen Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Nebraska Cornhuskers get absolutely manhandled by the Minnesota Gophers on Friday night. They lose 24-6. They make Minnesota look like the prison guard in Shawshank Redemption. Good morning, boys.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, guys. How are you feeling?
I don't know about that comparison, but we get it. I mean, it works.
I mean, that's how it felt, Matt. That's how it felt.
Yeah.
Just an absolutely atrocious performance by the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But hold on, before we get to that, what's more Nebraskan than football and beef, boys? Oak Barn beef.
Nothing.
And you know, even when you're angry about a Nebraska loss, you can still feel better by eating some good, delicious Nebraska beef.
Yes.
Oak Barn Beef is a family-owned farm right in Nebraska, shipping premium dry-aged beef straight to your doorstep and any doorstep nationwide. Whether you're stocking the freezer, grilling for game day, or looking for a gift that actually impresses, Oak Barn Beef delivers. Check them out at oakbarnbeef.com. That's oakbarnbeef.com, and taste the difference of Nebraska-raised dry-aged beef.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, guys. Not much good to say about that game. It's
no. I think thought about it beforehand, TJ. There is nothing really like positive to say about that game. But you know, we'll go with the flow here. We'll recap it. But let's just vent. Positive things to say.
Let's just vent for like 2 hours then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a venting.
Sort of big picture. It's really frustrating. I mean, we've talked about it on this show many times in the 2 years we've been doing this. It's so frustrating. Yet again, momentum, like Nebraska football feels like it has momentum. Nebraska football has won multiple games in a row. Nebraska football is ranked in the top 25. Things are going well for Nebraska football.
Yeah.
And like, I'll be like, we talked about this, guys, before the Maryland game. We said we'd be over the moon if they won the next two, mm-hmm. but they've got to split at the very least. So they split. Okay.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I don't think anybody thought that the Minnesota game was a guaranteed win. But after we got through Maryland, second consecutive come from behind win, it felt like the Huskers were starting to, they had some mojo going, if you will. And then the more we dug into Minnesota, everybody we talked to was like, yeah, this isn't one of PJ's better teams, right? And yeah. They're kind of really like middle of the country, not just middle of the conference, like nationally 60th, 70th, 80th in a lot of categories. They don't run the ball as well as previous Minnesota teams. They don't, you know, you think of what Minnesota does, they're kind of like Iowa. They commit to running the ball. They draw out the game, right? They shorten the game essentially by hanging onto the ball, playing field position, all those things. And it was like, you know, Nebraska's offense is just too explosive this year. The line got up to what, 9.5, 10 points, whatever it was. And it was just like, okay, this is it. Like, this is going to be the year we beat Minnesota. And even, dare I say, boys, when it was 7-6 at halftime, I thought to myself, okay, that was kind of a slow first half, kind of sluggish.
Yeah,
but they're going to come back. We get the ball to start the half. Dana's going to figure some things out. And it was the opposite. We just got smacked around really the entire game, but especially in the second half. So it's just so gosh dang frustrating for like a big picture perspective. Like, I don't, even going into it, even with all those things that felt like they were in our favor, I was nervous. Like, I didn't, you know, we've had trouble with Minnesota. We've had trouble with PJ. And I didn't think it was a guarantee that they would win, but they got absolutely dominated in a way that if we're really as like as much better as we think we are, we should not lose the game that way to Minnesota.
Not in that fashion.
No.
Yeah, not at all. I don't know. I kind of changed my tune last week just because I think I wanted to talk myself into getting out of that that Penn State discussion. That thing was really starting to annoy me. So I talked myself into, now we're going to turn this thing around. We were going to blow the doors off of Minnesota. But if we were looking for a light at the end of the tunnel, I think all of us picked this game as a loss, didn't we, in our original?
I did before the season.
So, I did not.
Okay. Well, I had us losing to Michigan. I had this as a loss, but it doesn't stop the feeling of pain in game when we lose like this. So, I mean, technically we're still on schedule, I guess, if you think about it, but it just sucks that we lost in the way that they did. That's a little disheartening and definitely concerning for the rest of the season, because it was before it was, we could win every game left on the schedule. And now it's, geez, Louise, we could lose every game on the schedule going forward too, based off of that performance.
Yeah.
Walks.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just, I don't know, just a few days ago, we're worried about Rule going to Penn State,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just crazy to me that just, if, you know, 72 hours, you know, whatever it is later, we're like, gosh, you go through those moments, those crazy Husker fan moments.
Take him.
Especially, you know, take him. Go ahead.
I dare you. Yeah, I hear you, dude.
I don't know. It's a crazy thing. And, you know, maybe the, you know, cross country travel to play Maryland last week and in the short week and all that, maybe that's some of that's valid. I kind of think that's kind of a pansy excuse.
Right.
But I know that plays a factor, and maybe it does. I mean, I was at the game.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You could tell like it just didn't seem like we had our energy, like our normal energy, you know, and I'm looking out at around the field, and it just seemed like Minnesota was their players, their team was way more into it than we were, but than our team.
So Mattio, like, that is distressing to hear in and of itself. Like, I'm reminded of a game during the Frost era when Frost said after the game, I think they did a walkthrough at the hotel, and he was like, oh, the energy didn't feel right. And I think it was the Davis brothers, you know, Khalil and Carlos Davis, like, got everybody together and tried to, like, you know, get them focused or get them hyped or whatever. Like, like other times where Rule said after the game, boy, did really nothing about this week suggested this would happen. Really didn't see this one coming. That's just maddening to hear.
Right.
That's maddening to hear. We never heard that when we were growing up. But it's not fair to compare people to Tom Osborne. But like, I don't remember hearing like, this didn't happen for Nebraska football. Yeah. Again, I think it'd be in some ways it would be a gut punch if they had lost 24-21 or something. But if it had felt like they had shown up, I think we could swallow it a little bit easier. I think that's why everyone on social media seems to be melting down and saying 6-6 is back on the table or 7-5 is back on the table, because you're like, what do we make of this team? Who is right. this team? You know, I mean, Northwestern, Purdue put up what, 20 points on Minnesota, and they just got blanked 19-0 by Northwestern. Northwestern will not be a cakewalk this week. It will not be a cakewalk.
No.
Right?
I don't know. I think, again, like, I made the point here over the last week or two, like, how much different college football is week to week. And yeah. I'm not, that's part of me is still like, you know, I'm the eternal optimist, right? Glasses half full. Like, part of me is still like, okay, maybe that's just a throwaway game. And maybe this is just me, you know, in my abusive relationship that I have with Nebraska football, me talking myself into, no, just stay. It's going to be different this time, you know? So I'm hopeful and optimistic that the way coach, because I've watched college football a lot this season, and you'll watch one team one week and be like, God, they look really good. Example, Florida State. Florida State beats Alabama week one. We're like, oh man, Florida State's 0-4 now in the ACC. 0-4. Yeah. And they're talking about firing Mike Norvell.
Pretty like, fat.
this, it's a different world and a different game week to week. So that part of it is may having me be like, okay, just hang on. Let's see how they finish. There's five games left. All those things you're talking yourself into after witnessing whatever that was on Friday night. I mean, guys, I've been in some raucous stadiums, okay? That is not one of them. I mean, the people are half asleep. It is terrible. Like they come running out at, and for the second half, Gophers are up 7-6. Here come your Gophers.
Well,
you can drop a damn pin in there. And that makes it even more frustrating. Like I'm looking around like, okay, it's a little, their student section on the one end is a little loud and the band's down there playing right at the field, which I think is, can we look at that, Big Ten? Is that, they're like literally standing field level, like blasting their tubas and all that crap out towards the field. I don't know if that's, anyway.
Yeah.
Other than that, like it is silent in there. Like, yeah, they cheer when the Gophers make a big play, but like, you know, Matty Jr.'s in there wanting to stand during the game and he's looking around and like nobody's standing and the older Gopher fans behind us, I'm like, you better sit down, these nice old people behind. You know, it's like, it's just not, we should never lose to teams like that. We should never lose to a team where it's so quiet during the game. Like Nebraska should not lose on the road to teams like that. And you know, maybe there's something to that. Like it's harder for our team to get up and play it in a stadium where it's like, hey, we expect them to be raucous and booing us and all this stuff. And it's just like, to me, it was like, okay, this place is quiet. I don't know. It's weird.
All the
weird
more reason thing, that we should
beat, don't understand why we can't beat that team. Right. Yeah. I don't understand why we can't beat that team. We should beat them every single time. That's me being an obnoxious Husker fan. They're not on the same level with us.
On the TV,
that makes it all the more frustrating.
On the TV, I'll tell you why, man. On the TV broadcast, they showed, so they were watching hockey, like Minnesota hockey, like on their own little television sets during the game. Like, do you imagine if Husker fans were watching a different game in the stadium on their phones or something like that? They're just not. Yeah, they're definitely not all into it. That's for sure.
Yeah, big game against North Dakota the other night on the ice. So Gopher fans were even distracted. They're waiting for the hockey score.
Yeah. Well, and Matt, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about that too. And you know, Josh Pate, I think, was the one after James Franklin got fired, and he kind of went on this spiel about how college football has changed. Everybody's got money now. Everybody's investing in, you know, players are getting paid. Everybody's investing in coaches and facilities. Yeah. And so it is like his point with the context of the Penn State firing was sometimes like you're going to have a guy like James Franklin who just has a season go off the rails. I think he called it a dead season, right?
Yeah.
And that's just going to happen. And you need to think twice about firing a guy who's had a lot of success. And so I think also within that context, you're going to have, to your point, Mattio, within a season, you're going to have games where it's like, holy smokes, like what happened to our team? I think the frustrating thing when you think about something like that, the frustrating thing for Husker fans is we've had very little of the upside.
Right.
Like James Franklin has had multiple 10-win seasons. He's won the Big Ten. He's gone to the playoff. In that context, you say, are you sure you want to fire this guy? Are you sure you know who you can bring in next? For Husker fans, I think that's what gets so maddening and so frustrating is, here we go again, Lucy with the football. Like, I'm sorry, guys. Michigan State might not make a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland, I don't know how good Maryland. Maryland's probably a 6 or 7 win team. I'm glad we won those games.
Yeah.
Those were nice games to win. But like, Husker fans want to beat Minnesota and Iowa, and they really want to get to the point where we're competing with Ohio State and Michigan. And we should never, ever lose that expectation. And so that's what's so frustrating is, I think if you think, again, I think we've said it. We said it after the Cincinnati game. We said it after the Michigan game. I think we can comfortably put it to bed now for anyone who was still buying the playoff dark horse hype. This is not a playoff team for Nebraska.
I think
it could be a nice 8 or 9 win team. I mean, I think we should, like you said it via text last night, Mattio, still want to enjoy the season. I want to enjoy the season. I see all kinds of reactions on social media. We hear directly from fans who email the Common Fan account or who text us directly. And some of them, they're mad at Rule and they're mad at Raiola and they this and that. And it's like, you know what? Like, we're still 5-2. We absolutely should beat Northwestern next week, although we can't take them for granted, obviously. But it's like, I still want to see what we can get out of this season.
Right.
And like, and many people said, like, I know a lot of people, most people in Nebraska were saying probably between 7-5 and 9-3 this year. I feel like everybody we talked to in the preseason was saying most common was 8-4 or 9-3. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like 8-4 would be 2 wins better than last year. And that's like, I go back and forth too. I'm on the roller coaster too. Like, that's annoying to me. Like, as a Husker fan who grew up in the 90s and watched excellent teams win national championships, like, that's annoying to me. But again, it would be 2 wins better than the year before and 3 wins yet better than the year, yeah, the 2 years before that. And it would be an improvement. And so, like, I still want to, you know, it'd probably be pretty close to a January 1 bowl. I don't know how the bowls play out anymore, but I think there's some non-playoff January 1 bowls still. It's hard to keep track. But the point is, like, we could still get to a decent bowl and get excited about something. Like, I still want to enjoy the rest of the season. I certainly don't want to write off the rest of this season. To your point, Mattio, that you made last night. But it's just so maddening because, like, we haven't had the upside. Like, I think, right. And I think like, if we go 8-4, but the 8-4 involves a win over USC and or Iowa, let's say, I think Husker sounds fans good. Feel pretty good about that. Yeah, you know?
Sounds good.
But yeah. if we beat, you know, well, now at this point, I mean, your two most, not most obvious, your two games you have to win in any scenario that gets to 8-4 probably are Northwestern and UCLA. Yeah. And then you've got USC at home and you got Iowa at home and you're at Penn State. That was not in order, but you guys know what I'm saying. So, and look, Iowa just beat Penn State yesterday. Penn State is obviously in a rut, but they still have Penn State level talent. So we cannot take that one for granted.
Right.
And then Iowa is probably going to be the closest thing to Minnesota that we see. So that doesn't feel good. You know, like, suddenly you're looking at the schedule and it's like 7-5 is still on the table. Shit, 6-6 is probably still on the table, guys.
Yeah. You if can go both ways with it.
Dear God, if it's 7-5, one of those two better be Iowa. Like, because 7-5, and I know we've been total homer sunshine pumpers, like 9-3, 10-2, but like, really, really, guys, if it's 7-5 and we don't beat Iowa, I don't know what I think about this season. Like, to me, it was kind of a failure. But if it's 7-5 and you beat Iowa, knowing what we've seen this team is, knowing what we saw in Minneapolis on Friday night, if it's 7-5 and we beat Iowa, I'm going, oh, okay, we beat Iowa.
by the way, the
season's not a total failure. If it's 7-5 and it's no, and there's no win against Iowa, I'm looking at this like, God, we really screwed the pooch this season.
It gets worse. Go ahead, DJ.
I want to address that, Mattio. We're recording this early Sunday morning. Last I saw, UCLA was losing to Maryland. They beat Maryland.
They beat them. Yeah, they won. Maryland. I just looked that up. I was just going to say that.
Three in a row.
Watch out for that one.
Three in a row for UCLA. And there's no gimmies on the schedule.
That's why when you said the wins are maybe Northwestern UCLA, and the, you know, my eyes kind of got big because UCLA's playing ball right now. Old Jerry Neuheisel's got them going. So that game makes me nervous.
Should
they all make me nervous, guys?
We need to do corn cobs, guys. I don't want to forget corn cobs, but Mattio, I think
what's
the point of all this?
I think 7-5, even with a win over Iowa, I mean, USC, I think they could still be ranked after this loss to Notre Dame.
We softened them up for you guys, we softened them up for you.
Get out of here.
He's playing Russian for the Irish.
There we go.
That's better. Get
move him off stage. Yeah. I think 7-5 is a failure no matter what.
I agree, and that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't share the same hatred. I don't like Iowa, but that's not a big enough draw for me to consider the season like hopeful or positive,
somewhat,
you know,
successful.
I mean? Yeah, like, if we finished 7-5 and we beat Iowa, I'm still gonna
report. Well, it's only one game better than last year, right? Yeah. We've been talking about the Matt Rhule
year 3 leap. Here it comes, guys. Look out. Here comes the Matt Rhule year 3. Like, it's automatic.
Like, if it's not, he's done it twice. Okay. Right. Done it twice. Under three very times would be under like, very, wow.
Under
that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, let's pump the brakes on that crap.
I hear ya.
All right, guys, let's do corn cobs. The corn cob segment is brought to you by the Nebraska Farm Bureau. the largest agricultural organization in the state with more than 56,000 members. For over a century, Farm Bureau has supported Nebraska's farm and ranch families, but their impact stretches far beyond the field. They grow leaders, amplify voices at the Capitol, and strengthen communities across our state. Agriculture is the backbone of Nebraska. When it thrives, we all thrive. Join Nebraska Farm Bureau today at nefb.org. That's nefb.org. Jeff, why don't you start off the corn cob segment today?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's very nice.
I'm not even gonna take it back. You just go ahead.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, there's not much to take away from that game on a positive note. So it's hard to find a corn cob. I mean, you could technically, I guess, give it to the special teams unit for putting the only points on the board, but I'm not even gonna go that route. I'm gonna give it to the fans of Nebraska football, specifically Matty O and his family, who always go to these games and travel across the country to watch these Deer Huskers play and then consistently just get kicked in the nuts over and over. I salute you, Nebraska fans. I salute you, Matty O.
Thanks,
because
Jeff.
That has just got to be a terrible damn feeling to have to drive all the way out there, watch what you saw, turn around, and then have to drive like a 9-hour drive back. Probably in dead silence, mind you. Nobody's talking to each other. It's probably just staring at the bleak, desolate, gray road back to Nebraska. So yeah. I salute you. You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you go on like a fun road trip with your buddies.
I did it.
And the drive out there is so fun and so optimistic. You're like, we're going to play golf. We're going to go out to dinner at all these fun places. And then the drive back when you're hungover is like the worst drive of all time. It
Jeff,
feels like it
Jeff,
takes
there, were chil- there were children involved, for God's sakes.
I'm just giving a comparison here. A 9-hour drive back feels like double the amount of time. It feels like 18 hours. So, yeah,
and you don't notice it at first, but then you like stop for gas or stop to go to the bathroom and you get back in the car and it smells like feet.
Yep.
And like in breath.
Feet and ass.
And you don't even want to stop because you just want to get home. You want to make good time as all dads do. So salute to you. I'm giving the corn cob to the fans because we have to put up with so much when it comes to this. And it's just every year, man, there's something like this that happens where we've been doing this, what, for 2.5 seasons now?
Two seasons.
Every time there is a game like this that we have to do a recap where it's just a gut punch. So, common fans, you get my corn cob this week. If this is filled with alcohol, I'd
be
cheersing to you.
To the people. I want to jump on that one. I meant to mention this last week, but it kind of dovetails nicely this time. My brother Shane, Shane Burkle, my older brother, made an impromptu decision to jump in the car with his Oliver is 13 now, 12, 13, anyway, with his son to go to the Maryland game. They live in New Hampshire, so they drove. I mean, they sat in traffic for hours around New York City. Like, they drove for, I don't know, 9-10 hours to go to the Maryland game. Like, he called me on the Wednesday or Thursday before that game. He's like, I'm thinking of just taking Oliver to the Maryland game. And sure enough, they did it. They were part of a huge contingent of Husker fans that saw a great win. And then they already had plans. Like, they had already booked. They were already going to the Minnesota game, so they were at the Minnesota game as well. Like that just like, you know, and we talked all about before the Maryland game, like that you have to, I was telling him, you have to go. I know that drive's going to suck, but like, we got a special season brewing. You guys are going to see multiple games. This is so cool. Yes. I don't see a downside. Go do it. And I don't think they regretted going to the Maryland, or I don't think they regretted going to either one, but like Tom Chattel has the line, Nebraska fans are undefeated against apathy. And we really are. And so like, that's why also like I don't judge fans who are super angry right now, because they're just like, we haven't had that breakthrough moment. We haven't had that breakthrough win. I'm not even sure I would have considered Minnesota a breakthrough win.
No, not at all.
But it would have been a game. Like, we felt like we got to 6-1. We haven't been 6-1, you know, 2016 would have been the last time we got, we were 7-0. But like, it just would have felt like a next step that we hadn't taken in a while. Once again, Nebraska football doesn't get there, but hats off to the fans, because you know we're going to fill up Memorial Stadium this very week.
Yeah,
I know. I have thoughts on this too, but do we want to finish corn cobs and then I go to it?
Let's finish corn cobs. Finish corn cobs.
I'm going to go with a guy that's been, again, Jeff said it, who the hell do you give a corn cob to in a game like that? There's only, you look around and you look at the stats, you're just like, well, no. I'm going to go again with Javon Wright. I mean, the guy led the team in tackles again, 5 solo, 12 total. And he was making plays through the end of the game, and we're down 2 scores, and he's still out there busting his butt. You could go with special teams or the kickers because they did their job. They're a couple of the only guys that did, but I'm going Javon Wright again. The guy's been an absolute beast on the field, all over the field, making tackles.
Love it. I'm going to go. This is going to sound strange. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Athletic Department. I don't know if you saw on Twitter.
Spit out my coffee.
You saw on Twitter, they had, it looked like a Damon tweeted it out and a couple other guys tweeted it out. They had like a framed tribute to Greg Sharp in the press box for the Nebraska media contingent. And I thought that was super cool and super classy.
Yeah.
Of the Minnesota Athletic Department. I just can't bring myself to give it to a coach or a player. Today,
I understand. You guys both went went off and did. I kind of feel left out now.
Yeah,
I feel left out. I actually chose a player.
I texted you while we were like 5 minutes ago, but we didn't have a chance to talk about it in advance. Sorry. And then I guess we could also give an honorable mention. You know, we probably need board approval to award a corn cob, but honorable mention to the Nebraska basketball team, who beat number 8 BYU in an exhibition game. I know Husker fans are excited about this, and it's great.
It doesn't count in the standings.
It's great, but it's the most Nebraska thing ever.
Yeah.
That we lose a game, a football game.
Happy about.
Yeah, we lose a football game. We think we're going to win, and then I mean, it's awesome. Like, hopefully, that's a sign of very promising things for this year's Nebraska basketball thing. Don't get me wrong, but we won an exhibition game. Like, I'm sorry, for me, that doesn't move the needle on the feeling of a death in the family that is how every Nebraska football loss feels. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't change the feeling. It doesn't change the loss.
I love that. I love Rank Mast, and I love that he's back from being off last year, and he hit like 7 threes.
Yeah.
And he's a baller. But
yeah.
It's an exhibition. Cue up like BYU, somebody the BYU's trainer going, it was supposed to be an exhibition.
All right, Matteo, back to you. Wanted to have you had thoughts on the fan thing.
It just going back to, like, you know, you talked about the fans, Jeff talked about the fans and making the trip and all that stuff. And then, you know, it's like you kind of sit there, at least for me, I was sitting there, it's third or fourth quarter, and you know what's happening, right? And I'm looking around, like, I drove 7 hours with my boys and my dad, got a hotel room, got all this stuff, you know, and you're sitting there, and at least for me, at least for a little bit, you're going, why do I do this? Why am I doing this? What is this for? Like, who is this for? And then, you're like, you know, you took your son, you're having creating memories with your son and your dad, and there's 3 generations of Owens men and all that stuff. But it's like, what are we doing? Like, what am I doing here? And I text my wife, and I just text her, ugh, UGH, ugh. And I'm going to read the text that she sent back to me. And it got me, and literally still in the stadium, and it got me a little misty-eyed.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
She said, now it's got to be your guys' personal quest to break the curse. Think of what a fun challenge that will be. And I think there's a lot of that with us, with Husker fans.
Quest. Like,
we would not be, like, we are still relevant. Like, I don't care what anyone says nationally, Nebraska football is relevant. Whether it's a good relevant or bad relevant, it's relevant. Like, we are still Nebraska. And one of the things that makes us still Nebraska is us, is our fans. So as soon as we are not giving up. Like, are you kidding me? We would have given up a long time ago. So we just, again, I keep going back to hope. We just need those little flashes of hope. And yeah, game to game, week to week, we are so manic. General, we know this. You know, the text thread, if we shared the text thread with the world that we have with our buddies during the game, they would be appalled. They would be disgusted.
We'd be shut down. Our podcast would be shut down.
Yes. Right. We live and die with these guys every week.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you by Thursday or Friday, we're going to be so jacked up for our tailgate against, and we're going to be jacked up for Northwestern. And that's just what we do. Because we got no, it's like that. It's like Chris Farley in Wayne's World 2 when he's trying to work security. And he's thinking, why don't you just leave? And Farley says, because I got no place else to go. Like, I don't have anywhere else to go on Saturday. I'm not changing teams. I don't have two teams.
Watch them out.
This is it. This is it. Yeah. This is all we got. Well, we've got five games left, and I'm not going to sit here and wallow. And I know millions of other Husker fans aren't going to sit here and wallow. It's like, okay, let's see what our boys got. It's not cutting time. Who's got the sack to come on to finish out this season and do what we want to do and try to get 2, 3, 4 more wins? That's the way I think. And so, yeah, you're sitting there and you're like, God, here we go again, you know, because it's inevitable. It's human nature. You sit there and you go, here we go again. Yeah. Why am I doing this? But it's just, and maybe we are sick. Maybe it's a sickness, but you look all over the whole country and it's everywhere. Like, it's college football. Like, people are nuts about it. There's a reason it's so popular, because it's the roller coaster week to week. You don't know what the hell's going to happen. There's something beautiful about it. And I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, you sit there and you're, why am I doing this? You drive and the drive back, let me tell you, is brutal. Especially when you're with your two kids staring at a screen and your dad's not really interested in breaking down the game in detail. You know, so it's just a lot of thoughts in Matteo's head. And every once in a while they creep out and I say it out loud and then I get no response.
Nobody's responding. But, keep your eyes on the road, Matt.
Matteo, that reminded me of, that also made me think of Enemy of the State when Will Smith is like, I'm all you got. And you're all I got, or what is something like that? You're all I got, and I'm all you got. it's so true. Yeah, I love Gene Hackman. It's so true too. Like, being a fan is mostly pain.
Yeah, right?
Your one team ends the season a champion. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, baseball, Matteo, you're a Cardinals fan. I'm a Cubs fan. Their seasons are over. The playoffs are going. The playoffs are going on. Those seasons are over. Right.
Yep.
Being a fan is mostly pain.
Yeah, but nobody asks who finished third in the Central in 2025. Like, no one cares who won the World Series in 2025. That's all anyone cares about.
Right. And so, like, but like, also being a fan means like you don't just hang around for those times when it's good. Right.
Right.
And like, and we saw, you know, the post, like, the last thing I'm going to do is write off this team. Right. And I think that's it's tough because of the last 10 years of Nebraska football and all the thoughts come creeping in, as you said. But also, like, we saw the way they were, you know, they got their butts kicked against Michigan in Matt Rhule's first year, and they responded really well to that, at least for, I don't know, the next three or four games or whatever it was. And so if this team, Josh Peterson said on our episode last week that he felt like Minnesota was a really pivotal game, and if they won, who knows what the ceiling was. If they lost, 7-5 is very much on the table. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But like, there's a reason we play the games, right? Yeah. And if this team has taken a step forward, like we did schedule predictions episodes, I think three times. We did them with just us twice, and then we did those smaller episodes with Michael Severe right before the season. And I think as we got closer to the season, maybe we were all 9-3 or better.
Yeah.
But I think at least at one point we all had 8-4. And so, some of us had 8-4, whether you said 9-3 or 8-4, there are either three or four losses involved in that. Right. Yeah. Like, there are games many, many, many people. I mean, I know a lot of people had us like winning against Michigan and then losing to Minnesota, but often when we did this, a lot of people picked the Minnesota game as a loss because it was a short week and it was on the road and all those things. So, we'll see. Like, maybe, like, I don't know, maybe they're going to end 5-7 and we're all going to be ripping our hair out and it's a totally different conversation, but maybe not, guys.
Yeah,
maybe not. I refuse, like you said, Matteo, like, I refuse to just go through this season and say, well, they suck and Rayola sucks and Wool sucks and forget all of this. And I don't, you know, and then if they win, well, they got lucky if they won. Like, some of this chatter, like, I've seen on social media, like, well, they could be 3-4. Yeah. Well, when we were losing all those close games, nobody said, hey guys, this team's three plays away from 6-1.
You know, nobody was saying.
Actually, they were. We had the best 3-9 team in the history of college football in 2021.
We were saying that. I saw that Bud Elliott, who I've started to believe is a total troll, was basically saying, like, he was like, yeah, they're a few plays away from 3-4. Bud Elliott was not out there saying, guys, this team's 5 plays away from 7-0, like, you know, when everything was going poorly for the Huskers and we were losing a bunch of one score games. So guess what? Those close games that we won them. They're in the books. Yeah. Like we look back 10 and 20 and 100 years from now, those are W's, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, can we scratch and claw a few more W's on this year? And, like, you know, who knows? But right now we only have 2 losses. Okay.
If you're looking for any positive there, our team definitely responds to adversity better than success, that's for sure. So we're down after this game. We'll probably win next week. We will. Like, for whatever reason, this team has a real issue with being, like, coming off a positive note and carrying it to the next game. Like, what the hell's the deal with that? Like, we finally cracked the top 25. Things are going well, and then we completely crap the bed. Like, I don't understand that part of it, but we'll win next week for sure now, guys.
I want to. No problem. I love that, GF. By the way, Matty O brought it up. We're so bad at bringing this up at the beginning of the episode. Let's not forget the Common Fan tailgate this coming week, this very week, for the Northwestern game. We'll be in lot 10, which is on W Street between 14th and 16th. We'll be in the northwest corner of the lot. Send us a DM on Twitter or send us an email, commonfangbr@gmail.com. If you want more details, would love to see you. I know we've got some regular Common Fan listeners coming to that along with some friends of ours and some family of ours. So just very excited to see all of you and meet some of those of you we haven't met. I want to talk about the game just a little bit, guys. We're not going to go blow by blow here because it just hurts and it sucks. Right. Let me say this, like, the tackling was not great. Like, the defense kind of got pushed around, but I kind of don't put this one on the defense, and I don't even know.
I don't know
if that makes any sense. Yeah. It was 7-6 at halftime.
Yeah.
One. It was rough to see them give up. Like, they Archie pinned the team. They were on the 2-yard line and they gave up that 98-yard drive that took it felt like it took 10 minutes, a whole third quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even then though, guys, it was 14-6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the offense has to be able to hit back. Like, or like 7-6 at halftime. I really thought they would come out of at second half and be doing something different.
Yep.
And like, I like, what concerned, again, after we just had that whole optimistic pep talk, what's concerning is what we saw on offense. And like, did Minnesota figure something, put the blueprint on film for everyone else to follow? But like, I'm trying to find that tweet we found. We talked about the same. There it is. I thought coming out of half, we'd run the ball more and or do some quick slants, quick hitters. We really didn't do much. Like, we don't do much play action. We don't do much RPO. From what I can tell, again, we've said many times, we're not X's and O's guys, and it's hard to see what's going on TV. Like, it's hard to see, like, the receivers, for instance.
Uh-huh.
It appears that we're just doing this straight drop back stuff and Dylan's not super mobile and we can't protect the quarterback and the O-line isn't great. And either no one's getting open or Dylan is not seeing receivers when they're open. So guess what? That's not working. I don't know what else to say. And here's this tweet from Sam after the game. Nebraska called 38 passes and 16 runs.
That's what pisses me off the most is I'm tired of hearing, like, Emmett Johnson is so special, because we know he is. And I get sick and tired of coaching saying he's so special. This guy's a talent like we've never seen at running back. They were talking about Minnesota whiffed on him. They should have taken him, blah, 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 blah. We have this great running back, right? And then these coaches just, I don't know. Didn't Holgorsen come from, like, the Mike Leach coaching tree? Right.
Yeah.
These guys claim that they want to do that, but the second, like, one play doesn't work and they start panicking and they go back to just their old roots of just chucking the ball all over the place. And it's just maddening to watch that happen. So I love Dana, but things but like that really do piss me off.
But that's where I want to jump in there. Like, that's not the, from what I've been told, I don't know if this is accurate or not. Dana still isn't running like Dana's offense. Like, Dana's that's running great. A modified version of like what we were running with Satterfield.
Right.
Like, that's so like, I didn't, you didn't see really much for the slants. At least, you know, I'm in the stadium, so I wasn't watching the, you know, can't see the whole all 22 or whatever, but it seemed like there's a lot of mesh concepts, a lot of slants, a lot of crossing routes, which you see a lot in that kind of offense. And like the Leach, Dana, air raid offense, like there's almost none of that. And then like your point about Emmett, like to me, this should have been the Emmett Johnson game. Like think it was last week. The guy's from Minnesota. They didn't recruit him. He's had this date circled on his calendar for who knows how long. Like this, to me, this was the game like, hey, Emmett, we're back. We're back where you're from. This is going to be you, dude. We're going to give you the ball 30 times.
Yes.
Like, we're going to see what happens. Like, you know, and if Minnesota wants to play the, you know, the PJ Fleck, control the clock, let's grind it out. Let's play it with them. Let's play it with them.
Right. Exactly.
Let's do it. Let's play their game. Like, because you know, when they drive 9 minutes down the field and score, and then we're hurried up and trying to get down the field and score, and then we go three and out, that we're playing right into their hands.
Yes.
You're playing right into their hands.
And that's why partly why I don't blame the defense, because by the late in the game, they've been on the field a lot.
Yeah.
And Minnesota, like that's another thing that was frustrating about this is Nebraska fans could have told you the game PJ wanted to play. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did. And what's frustrating is like Minnesota seemed to have an answer on third down. Minnesota, mm-hmm. like they may not have the explosive playmakers that we have, or we think we have, but they knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they like we got absolutely outcoached this game. It should have been a warning. The Blackshirts forced a three and out right away, right out of the chute to start the game. Minnesota got the ball, and I thought, here we go. This is exactly what we thought would happen. We're going to dominate. And then we got the ball, and we went 3 yard pass, sack, incompletion, and it's like three and out.
Yeah. Didn't bother to run it, you know.
Yeah, and then I don't even remember what point in the game it was. But there was another time, like several people commented on Twitter, and it was like Emmett 12-yard run, then incompletion, or something like that. Like we saw it multiple times.
Yep.
And look, if you're feeling like you can't run this goes back to a conversation we've had many times. I want us to have the identity where again, it's 2025. We want to bring playmakers to town. I want us to have the identity that, look, if throwing the ball is going to be a big part of our offense, I want us to say we're going to be a physical team that wins the line of scrimmage first. And guess what? We were pounding our chest because we did that against Maryland. We still haven't proven.
That was one of my optimistic points from our last podcast is the O-line.
Guess what, Jeff? It's Maryland.
Yeah.
Like we haven't proven we can do it against Minnesota. We haven't proven we can do it against Iowa. Like I do think Frost teams were more physical than Riley's, and Rule's teams has been more physical than Frost. Like I don't want to like completely, there has been progress has been made in that regard. Like the defense has been better under Rule, right? Like things have improved in regards of like smash mouth football that we want to see. But I still like, if you're going to run this pro style straight drop back offense, the offensive line play has to be better and the quarterback play has to be better. It simply has to be better.
Yeah. Yes, let's just call it out. Like we've got Donovan Raiola coaching the offensive line, Dylan Raiola at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like it's totally understandable. If Husker fans are having the conversation of like, geez, you know, Raiola's not getting the job done. Like, what are we doing here? Like that. And I saw it on Twitter. Like, what if we fire Raiola? Does Dylan transfer? And it's hard. And it's like, let's just talk about it. Let's put that out there. Like it's a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're worried. And this is the NIL crap too. You're like, okay, we know how much money this guy's making. Like, do we have to play him? Cause we're paying this money. And that's the NFL light thing about this that I don't like. And I'm not saying bench Dylan, but Dylan's got to get better.
Dylan's got to be better.
He's got to step up in the pocket. He's got to stop like rolling around, scrambling, trying to be Mahomes. Like, I'm sick of people saying that, but like, dude, Did he have to throw it left-handed on the one? Yeah, it worked with Lindenmeyer, but it's like, you don't need to run around every single play. Like, get rid of the damn
actually,
ball.
Or be better at running around. He can't, like, he doesn't
right.
move. Like,
yeah. Statue back there. My real issue is, and I noticed this yesterday watching a lot of college football, is I don't know if it's this generation, this younger generation, but nobody throws the ball away anymore. They refuse to throw the ball away and just chuck it out of bounds. All of these younger players for some reason think that they can and will make a play out of nothing. And it drives me absolutely insane. Like, I do think Dylan, he's a talent, but I think every play he thinks that he can do that diving shovel pass if he needs to, or throw it left-handed.
That was stupid, by the way. That diving shovel pass was stupid.
Had that not worked out, we'd be having a completely different conversation right now as far as what we should be thinking about with Dylan. But these kids just don't throw it away anymore. They have too much pride. They think they're all, maybe it's playing video games, playing Madden in college football. They think they can make the big play out of nothing, but you have got to throw these things away. The offensive line was terrible, but Dylan's got to be more aware of chucking that thing away rather than trying to make something out of nothing.
100%.
It's not going to work every time.
Mattio, to your point about the Raiolas, I mean, the sacks are clearly everybody's fault at this point.
Right. It's not just Dylan. It's not just the O-line. It's the Dane. It's the OC. It's the quarterback. Yeah. It's the line. It's all those things.
But like you watch the line, there were times when like it was embarrassing to watch. Either like the tackles just got completely beat. But then there were also times where this is a coaching thing, in my opinion, where the running back or the guard picked up a block and the tackle was kind of reinforcing that block while somebody ran right by him. No, you should pick up that guy who's running at the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is going on here? But there are definitely times where Dylan holds the ball too long. Again, the fact that we didn't come out in the second half and do anything differently and try to have any sort of answer and get the ball out quicker. That to me is an indictment on Dana. I think Rule needs to say, Dana, we're running the ball this game. Like, I think Rule, stop saying, there's just everybody's involved here. Last thing I'll say, we're back to this conversation. Drake Lindsey had one opportunity to throw the ball into the end zone, and he put it right on his receiver in between two Husker defenders for a touchdown. Yep. Dylan, conversely, had Dane Key two different times where Dane had at least a step on the defender. Right. The first time, I think, was when we ended up settling for the field goal on our first field goal drive. And it was tight, and Dane was butting up against the sideline of the end zone there, but there was a window there. And the second one was Dane was even more open. The 5-star, $3 million quarterback has to make that throw.
Throw.
Here's the deal. If your five-star $1 million quarterback isn't very mobile and he's not making that throw, then
what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Right. And that's I want to give Dylan some props. I think he's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And tougher than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
And I think he doesn't make excuses. Right. Like, I appreciate
right. He took the blame for the loss. Yeah. He doesn't have to take the blame for the loss, but he is. Like, he's saying the right thing, but he is. He's saying the right thing.
And I think people think, he's all flash and the stupid Mahomes thing and all this stuff, but he's a gamer. He's a gamer. But I'm trying to figure out, are they not putting him in the best positions to succeed? Like, if he is as good, everybody talks about how great he is. And he's a very talented, highly skilled quarterback who's probably responsible for some of the wins we've had this season. But I don't the game comes down to a handful of plays. Mm-hmm. And when your quarterback's not making those throws, I'm not sure what we're doing here, you know?
Yeah.
I, for one, this is not an indictment on Dylan. It's just an indictment on style, choice and style, I guess, but I prefer a running quarterback in college. I think just because we've had so many of them going back to the option days, I think that gives you an advantage in college. But if you're not going to have a running quarterback, then you got to have a guy who, yes, he's capable, he has the arm to make all the throws, but he's not making all the throws.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mattio, you were going to say something.
No, I'm just going to say, I put more blame on that loss on the coaching staff than any of the players. I feel like we were the less prepared team.
Yep.
We had less energy. 100% to me, it's on Rule, Dana, Butler. I mean, I can't really blame Mike Eckler. The special teams did all right, but
completely outcoached.
Yeah, it's like it just seemed like we weren't prepared to play. And then you go back again to like, okay, short week, and we travel cross country and all that. There's probably something to that. But the really good teams, and for sure the great teams, don't make that excuse.
Right.
No. They go out and they handle business and they beat an inferior opponent. That's what they do. And okay. So clearly we still have a ways to go in terms of getting to where we think we should be. And that is beating Minnesota and beating Iowa and beating the Wisconsins regularly. Programs that are inferior to our program, but we can't figure out how to beat on the field.
As I said before, every Husker fan could have told you what PJ Fleck's game plan was going to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew what, like, and how many times did we want to tear our hair out during the Frost era when some team would put together an 8 or 10 minute drive and then we'd come out and go 3 and out because we were throwing it up 3 times out of the shotgun.
Yeah.
And then they put the defense back in a tough spot. Like, everyone could have told you what PJ wanted to do. And we just seemed completely unprepared for that. Whereas every time third down came up, they had an answer. They had a guy running open. Drake Lindsey made the throw. Whatever. And they're agreed. Like, they're not going to win the Big Ten. They're not a great team, but they were ready for that game. And they were well coached in that game.
Yep.
All right. We want to do reasons for optimism, reasons for concern, or reason for optimism. At least we're all going to die someday.
Yeah.
Sorry, Common Fan. Sorry. A little gallows humor here on a Sunday.
I don't want to do, I mean, the reasons for concern, I think, I mean, we all have
them. They're obvious.
We know what those are.
We just talked about them. Yeah.
Let's go. Let's try to be positive. Let's end in a positive. So reasons for optimism. I mean, we still have some dudes. And granted, to me, that was a stinker on Friday. But again, it's a new world of college football. You know, we got another shot next week against who's a better team than I think we all thought they were going to be in Northwestern.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, yeah, they're better than we all thought they were going to be. It's homecoming. It's the Common Fan tailgate. Like, we want good vibes. And I think we're going to get a little home cooking on Saturday. It feels good to come back home. You know, you're off traveling for a couple of weeks. You come back home, you get a nice home cooked meal. You maybe, you know, somebody's, you know, maybe rub your back a little bit. You feel pretty good. You're cozy. You got your home jersey on, or your whatever. Grown men don't wear jerseys, by the way, but you got your red on instead of your road whites, or, you know, next, you know, the week after that's black. It's going to feel familiar is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need some familiarity. And I want to believe that the guys that we're paying millions of dollars to, I mean, coaches and players, are going to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
They're going to figure this thing out because they care. They do care.
Yeah. I like
yes,
that.
They do.
Yep. I mean, I think, look, I don't think we're under any illusions anymore of like dark horse playoff team or whatever. No. But if we can get the W against Northwestern, get to 6-2, know that we have, you know, a bowl game locked in for the second consecutive, like it needs to just become an expectation. It needs to become what we do in terms like mm-hmm. minimum threshold is going to a bowl game.
Bowl game.
You get to 6-2. And then, like we said, like I think, like we don't want to mess around with that, right? Like, you lose to Northwestern, and then USC comes to town. Like, we don't want to mess around with that. Get to 6-2, and then who knows what's on the table? Yeah. Who knows what's on the table? Like, again, I'm not. We're not going to sit here and predict 10-2, but like, you can still. I think if we get to 8-4, let's say, and that involves beating USC and or Iowa. I think fans will like be pretty happy with that, right?
Yeah.
So like that's still on the table, right? Maybe just maybe if the ball bounces our way, maybe 9-3 is still on the table too. And I think fans at this point would be elated with that. So like, as you said, Matt, I think this comes back to like, I don't blame any Husker fan that's angry. I don't blame any Husker fan that's angry at all. However, like we only get to do this 12 Saturdays a year.
Yes.
Let's try to enjoy it, baby.
Yep.
Let's enjoy it. Right.
Yeah.
Like the team, and it was so miserable for so long. Like, we're going to go to a bowl game this year. We're going to get that 6th win. We're probably going to get a few more than that. Let's enjoy this thing.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to, before you know it, it's going to be the cold, dark winter. There's going to be no football on. and you're going to be like, God, I know we didn't finish it. The season didn't go as well as we wanted, but I can't wait for it to come back. That's what you're going to be saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So enjoy it while it's here, Common fans. Enjoy it while it's here. Yeah, there's going to be highs and lows, but let's just try to take it in and enjoy it. And you know what? The other thing too is like, for us, expectations. Like we talk ourselves into like how good this team is, when really maybe we should just be sitting here like, who knows what's going to happen? They're my guys, and let's just sit. And then I know
that's not true. Quit talking like that. That's never.
But wouldn't it be nice to come in and be like, well, you know what? I love this team, and whatever happens, happens. Like, it seems like there's some people that, a very few people in this world.
Imagine
that maybe
TJ
have that.
Saying something like that.
Oh, no.
I'm not even saying something like that.
Yeah. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, guys. Let's see what happens.
That's a nice thought, Matt. I'll have whatever you're having. All right, Common fans, look, here's the other thing. For those of you who've been athletes out there, we've all laid a dud. We've all had a game we thought we were going to win that we lost. What does your coach say when you come back in the locker room? You got to flush this one and move on, guys.
Yep.
Got to flush this one and move on. So the Common fans, you too. We got to flush this one. We got to move on. We got to show up against Northwestern on Saturday.
It's what we do.
All right, Common fans. Hey, be kind to each other. We'll be back at you midweek, Common fans. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisle.
And Nebraska takes the lead.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.